Imagine a government official bugging you to get pregnant. Some see that future in China. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, President Trump is due in Charlotte today, where he's supposed to sign an order to help small businesses set up retirement plans, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
Right now, about half of small businesses with 100 employees or fewer offer retirement plans. Richard Johnson at the Tax Policy Center says that's because
they can be expensive to set up and they can be subject to pretty high fees.
But businesses can reduce those costs by joining what's known as a multiple employer plan. Angela Antonelli is with the Center for Retirement Initiatives at Georgetown.
What a multiple employer plan basically would be able to do is create an option that allows small businesses to come together and to be able to pool their resources.
MEPs already exist, but the Trump administration wants to change the way they operate to prevent a single business that makes a mistake, for instance, from jeopardizing the entire plan. The Tax Policy Center's Johnson again.
This would be the first positive step, I think, that President Trump has made in the area of retirement security.
And expanding MEPs has bipartisan support. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
A key story of the month just now concluding, money flowing out of emerging markets around the world, pummeling those currencies and driving up interest rates, Turkey, South Africa, Indonesia. The Indian rupee is down again this morning. The burgeoning trade war gets a lot of attention, and domestic economic policies in those countries are part of the story. But the borrowing binge by the U.S. federal government is also putting pressure on other countries. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial in New York.
The idea is that here's the Fed draining U.S. dollar liquidity by raising interest rates and shrinking its balance sheet. And at the same time, the appetite of the U.S. Treasury to finance its growing deficit is pulling investors back into the U.S. And it just happens that at the moment in the emerging markets, that they owe something like $3.1 trillion in U.S. dollars. They have to refinance about two-thirds of that debt in just the next couple of years. And in order to attract investors, they've got to raise interest rates to levels that are going to be really difficult to repay.
Always good to get the Friday briefing from Chris Lowe at FTN Financial in New York. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, David.
The Turkish lira was stronger today after a tough week, 6.58 to the dollar now. Not everyone gets a chance to study the economy in school. Anyway, who doesn't need a brush up? Marketplace helps you continue your education in a way that we hope is smart, accessible, and hopefully even a bit fun. Your donation is not only an investment in your own learning, but also in helping us make more people smart about the economy. And that, we think, is good for everyone. To learn how you can help, visit marketplace.org/investors. Thank you. In China, a draft of a sweeping new civil code has been released, and something key is missing. The code, if enacted, governs many aspects of Chinese life, from contracts to marriage. Here's what it does not contain: any reference to family planning. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak is on the line from Shanghai. Good morning.
Good morning.
For some context, how has China's family planning policy evolved?
Well, it started in 1979, and the policy was one child per family. But there have been some flexibility over the years. So rural farmers, ethnic minorities, couples where one partner is an only child, they can have more than one baby. But those who broke the rule, well, enforcement was uneven. Some women were brutally forced to have abortions. Others just paid the fine. And then in 2015, the government raised the limit from one child per couple to two.
All right. But there are what? Economic pressures to change.
Basically, there are not enough workers in China. So government figures show that the workforce is shrinking at an annual rate of at least 4 million. Plus, there's a huge gender imbalance, 30 million more men than women because of cultural preferences for boys. And what does that mean for businesses? Well, textile factories and production requiring fine, detailed work traditionally prefer women are having trouble recruiting. And many of the companies we've spoken to are far more worried about finding a stable and affordable workforce than a possible trade war with the U.S.
What are some projections about whether getting rid of birth limits would work?
Well, some critics say it's just too little too late. When the government changed the policy last time from one child to two, the baby boom officials expected just didn't happen. Turns out couples were pretty stressed about the cost of raising a child. Housing is so expensive that usually parents and grandparents have to pitch in to help with the down payment.
So this draft civil code no longer has a reference to family planning. Does that mean Chinese families are now free to procreate, that the limits are done?
Well, not exactly. What's interesting is that nothing has been officially announced. The decision-making process in China's government is just so opaque that now we're relying on what's not included in a draft civil code to give indication of where the policy will go. What we do know, though, is the government wants to raise the birth limit. That could mean lifting limits on births, financial incentives. Two Chinese academics even suggested penalties for forcing couples with fewer than two children to pay into a reproduction fund. Now, as you can imagine, that has provoked public anger and has been ridiculed because a lot of these suggestions still put the state firmly in the bedrooms of Chinese families.
Mm. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
And there's that oft-repeated line about senior bankers in the last financial crisis. Nobody went to jail. At the turn of the century, when the powerful energy company Enron was found to be a fraud, some did go to prison. There's news that former Enron CEO Jeffrey Skilling has just been released. His 24-year sentence had been reduced to 14. Skilling's in a halfway house now, according to the Houston Chronicle. Enron's chairman Kenneth Lay was also convicted but died of a heart attack soon after. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.